We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Shem Nechem Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Bava Metzia, Paragimel, Mishnah, Hey. V'chein Shnei Kelim. This is really continuation of the previous Mishnah where we spoke about where there was a deposit made by two people. Shimon and Levi gave Reuven money. One gave him 100 zuz, one gave him 200 zuz, and we know what it was. Who gave what? So here the Mishnah says V'chein Shnei Kelim. You have two people, let's say Shimon and Levi, who give Reuven a deposit. Each one gives him a kli, gives him a vessel. But echad yofa mana, echad yofa elev zuz. One's worth 100 zuz, one's worth 1,000. So that means one of those people, Shimon Levi, gave a much more expensive kli to Reuven, and when they come to claim it, Zeomer Yafesh Shali, Zeomer Yafesh Shali. One says, Shimon says, the 1,000 zuz vessel was mine, and Levi says the 1,000 zuz vessel was mine. Each one wants their greater one. And as we explained in the previous Mishnah, there we're speaking about where they both brought their kli, according to the Rambam, in one chavila, in one pack. And one bound together, or let's say according to Rashi, at least they came one bifnei, they came together. In such a case, the nifkad, the shomer, has the right to say, you weren't makbid one on the other, you didn't suspect one another, so I didn't pay attention either. And therefore, what does he do? No seines hakatan le'echad mehem. He gives the smaller kli to the one of the people. And now this is not so simple because it's not money, so you have to sell it. Umitoch hagadol no sein demei katan l'sheni, meaning you have to sell the 1,000 zuz kli and give 100 zuz of that to the other person, and then that 900 you wait around with until you can clarify this suffix. Other mepharshim explain that it's not that you actually sell the 1,000 zuz kli, that what you do is you break off from that larger kli the value of a katan. Obviously, and that's where Rashi learns the Gemara of the Mishnah. It must be that we're talking about a kli. Obviously, it's not going to be ruined if you do so. And of course, the rest is left. The rest of the value is left, or the rest of the kli, in the case of a kli where you could break and it's not going to ruin it, is left to Leliokos. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Same problem. Im Kain, if each one is getting the value of a kli katan, Mahef Seder Ramai. The Ramai is not losing. He's getting his kli back anyway. We want to set it up so that will discourage people from lying. You know what you do? Everyone loses. Meaning, we want the Ramai hopefully to admit, and therefore both Kalim, the 1,000 Zuz Kli and the 100 Zuz Kli, are kept. The Gemara says that the Mishnah's coming to teach us the Chiddush, meaning the Gemara, obvious question. I know this from the previous Mishnah. I could have figured this out on my own from the previous Mishnah. Why do I need an example of Kalim? So the Chiddush is, according to the Tanakhama, that not Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhama who says we give 100 zuz to each in the previous Mishnah, and we give a kli worth 100 zuz to each one here. So not only in a case where it's money, we give 100 zuz to each person, because what's going to happen? In the end, there's going to be, if once we clarify matters, the 200 zuz person, the one who deserves the 200 zuz, is not going to lose out. He'll get, he'll be able to get his 200 zuz, his extra 100 zuz at some point once we clarify things. But when it comes to kalim, so now what are we doing? The value, at least according to one explanation, we're giving the value of the cut of the Dmei Katan Mitoch HaGadol, which means the kli is going to be ruined, either because you have to sell it or because you have to break it. Either way, he's never going to get his $1,000 kli back. So it has to be sold, it has to be broken, and the kli is not going to come back be'en intact the way it was. Maybe I would say the Tanakhama would say here, leave it all till Eliyahu comes. So the Chiddush of this Mishnah is that even when it comes to Kalim, where I have to sell or break the larger kli, and there may be some type of loss to the Baal HaKli, the one who really owns the $1,000 kli, nonetheless, we do that here as well. Perak Gimel Mishnah Vav. Hamafkid Peros Eitzel Chaveru. Person gives fruit to his friend to watch, and here we're concerned about the fruit eventually spoiling. So says the Mishnah, Afilu Hein Avudim. Even if you see that the fruit is now decaying, maybe the mice are coming to eat it, whatever it is, lo yigabahem, you shouldn't touch it, which means the person who is the shomer on this, you can't call up, you can't somehow contact the owner and say, this is what's happening. So what should you do? Should you sell it, at least get the money? Or maybe he really really wants his fruit, even if it's not going to be it's not going to be as fresh, and it's not going to look as good as it did before, not going to be worth as much. So says the Mishnah, lo yigabahem. Oh, you shouldn't touch it. Now, why shouldn't you touch it? So the Gemara has an expression, which is a principle which we apply here. Rotza adam mikav shelo mitisha kabin shel chaveru. Person's own fruit, he grew it himself, is more precious to him from his field. Even one kav measure of his own, six kav equal a sub. So even one kav of his own is more precious to him than nine kav of his friend. Now that's really an expression. It should not be taken literally, because in fact we don't assume that. If you look in the next Mishnais, we're going to speak about what if you see that the fruit is deteriorating. You know, we're supposed to return it. You have to sell it. So we'll see that it's not really true that a person wants only one kav of his own versus nine kav of his friend. In fact, the Tanakhama holds that if it's going to be ruined any more than fruit normally deteriorates over time, then in fact you should sell it. So then what's difficult, if that's true, is to understand the machlokas of the Mishnah. Because the next opinion says here, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, no, you shouldn't lo yigabahem and leave them alone. You should sell them. Mochon bifnei based and sell them in front of based and based in this way. You get the proper price. It's auctioned off properly. You get the good value. It's appraised properly. It's like returning a lost object. A lost object, you would obviously you'd pick it up to return it. Fruit that's getting ruined and you can't contact the mafkin, the one who gave it to you, you the shomer have an obligation of hashavas aveda. Hashavas aveda is done when it comes to fruit. Sell the fruit now while it's not completely ruined, and then you'll get the money. Give it to the money to the owner. Why would you keep the fruit around to deteriorate? So the mefarshim deal with. So what's the machlokas then? If it's true that the Tanakhama says when it says don't touch them, it doesn't really mean don't touch them, only if they begin to deteriorate, you should sell them. So the basis may be the following, where let's say the produce is, we see that normally it would be ruined a certain amount within a year, and we see the produce is now getting ruined after 1 or 2 months, it's getting ruined significantly, what it normally would get ruined in a year. So the Tanakhama says, maybe the rest of the year after those 2 months, it'll stay okay, it's not going to get more ruined. Let's Shomer shouldn't sell it. Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's already ruined in a short period of time. It's that much, so then it should be sold. It's one explanation. Another explanation says like this, that no, we don't assume that at all. You know why there's this disparity between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel? Because the Tanakhama holds, I'm afraid that maybe the owner was designated this pile of fruit he's not planning on eating anyway. That's his truma. That anytime he has other produce he has, he's going to separate truma from this produce. So if that's the case, then it should not be sold at all. And so that's different ways to understand the machlokas in the Mishnah.